It's still Tony here. Hey, hey, we got a saying in the deep. It's called What Up Though. So when you hear this song, I want you to say, hey,
what up?
Hey, what up though?
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 What up?
What up, though? For anybody that knows, that's people from Detroit. That's a common phrase that people from Detroit use to say, kind of like, what's up? So in that segment, in this segment, we're going to discuss anything and everything that's taking place in the city of Detroit and in Michigan in general. So that kind of leads me to the next conversation. I was reading on Detroit Free Press. It was probably sometime, I want to say like, last year sometime, there was this prostitute and she actually was killed by the police, right? Because she was acting real crazy. She was just running in the middle of the street doing all kinds of crazy stuff, and she was just acting crazy. So the police pulled up on her and were trying to help her because they were trying to figure out like what's wrong with this lady, you know. And they knew she was a prostitute because she was kind of like well known in the area, and they were like trying to calm her down. Well, long story short, she tried to attack a police officer, and as a result she was killed in the process. But when they finally kind of like did an autopsy on her to figure out like what was going on, why was she acting so crazy, apparently she had rabies. But that was the only thing that was strange that they found. Apparently when they did the autopsy, they found like 12 penis heads in her stomach where she had eaten 12 dudes' penises. So I'm like, I don't even know. Like, how does that even happen? Did she like bite their penis off in the middle of having sex with them, or did she intend to do that? So apparently, whenever she had caught rabies, however she caught it, I think they said they thought she might have caught it from a rat or something like that, and she kind of like started acting crazy. So I guess within a span of 2 weeks, she was just eating and stuff.
And you said this was a prostitute, right?
Yeah, this was a prostitute in Detroit. Yeah, damn. She
and
was.
She had a rabies mouth, and guys are still putting their in her mouth.
It's a rabies. I don't think they knew had rabies at the time, because you know, I think that they thought, you know, I'm gonna pay this. I think she was probably doing this for like $5. Some reports said.
Oh, this was like a crackhead. This was this.
Yeah, she was. I can show you a picture of what she looked like.
Yeah, let's make sure we get a picture up. Put a picture up.
Well, poor lady. Her name.
Got me thinking like, damn. Did I?
Her name was Loretta Monroe. She was 47 years old. Let me see if I can.
Oh, this is an old washed up crack hooker. Yeah, she's from that 47. Yeah, she's from like that crack. Yeah,
oh man.
Yeah, big rocks. So
let me see. This is the lady right here. You see?
Oh, it's a dead by police autopsy reveals 12 chewed up penises in her stomach.
Yes.
Wow, this is crazy.
Yes, it was crazy.
Damn.
So man, I had never read you know what happened though? I only read about that story because your mom had brought it up. She was like, yeah, the Detroit Free Press was talking about how this lady was eating 12 penises. And I was like, man, that's crazy. That's the craziest thing I ever heard in my life. Like, I never heard of no stuff like that.
It sounded like some almost, but damn,
it wasn't. That was some real stuff. So you know, Detroit always be having some crazy stuff going on, man. It's like, man, so
damn, so that's the complete segment of What Up Though. That was in the news. You guys, all you tricks and Johns out there that want to get your blowjob, be careful who you sticking that in their yap, man, because you might not get it back, man, unfortunately.
Right. She biting the people with penises off. I'm sure she ain't the only woman that's ever done that before, though.
Hell no. There's been plenty of women that probably got in her car with some insane trick. And, you know, he put out a weapon, a gun, or a knife, and, you know, bitch, I'm going to get you, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to slice your throat. You know, a sick, sadistic,
you know what? You know? I was reading a story like that, or listening to a story like that, because I watched the Investigation Discovery. So, you know, I like watching all that weird stuff. So I did see an episode where this prostitute lady, she had almost got murdered and pushed, because this guy was trying to kill all these different prostitutes, put them in the back of a trunk and just, you know, stab them up and then leave them for dead in the middle of the woods. I think it's called Dead Silent is the name of the show. And So yeah, like he was over there doing that, and so I think she had like bit his penis or something to get away. So you know, that's a tactic, I guess. Yeah.
I mean, you think about the craziness of it. I mean, you're double looking anytime you get in the car with an Uber driver, let alone some John. I can only imagine. I don't want to imagine what goes through the mind of a prostitute. You out there in the bristling fucking cold. It's 30 degrees. I mean, this is the old school aspect of it. You know, most girls work a call service or online, and a trick would go to a hotel room, so they somewhere in a safer environment. But I'm talking about those old school stunt down hookers that was prostitutes in like the 60s, 70s, and 80s, to where when a John and all these sadistic serial killers such as like motherfuckers like Ted Bundy,
right?
What's that other one that they used to call ID? Arthur Shawcross, guys like that.
Right.
In the 70s and 80s, where you know they would get a girl in a car, and you know it's supposed to be at one point like a victimless crime, and then all of a sudden you get this sick sadistic trick, and he gonna come in, he gonna cut the girl, you know, throat and slice her all up. But the mental aspect of, you know, from standing outside and being safe at one point in time to you getting in a car with this guy, and you just trying to, you know, it's pay for play, and all of a sudden this guy go crazy on you, man. You know how crazy that is when some stranger pull up, you need your money that bad, or you gonna hop in a car with a complete stranger. And that goes to show you how crazy that times have changed, because remember when we was growing up, you know, Scruff McGruff and the rest of them used to say, hey, don't get in a car with strangers. All of a sudden they call it an app. It's an application. Hey, here's Uber, get a Lyft. I don't know this m-
Well, at least with Uber and Lyft, like, you can see they supposedly do a background check, you know.
They ain't did no, but that's plenty.
they do. You know, I had to do a little. I guess they did a background check on me when I was doing Uber Eats. I was just a little delivery driver, but you know, I thought about that because I didn't want to do. I didn't want to like deliver. Like people, I didn't want to, like, you know, go around dropping people off. I didn't, because it's not safe for women. Like, I think a lot of reports have put out that Uber, a lot of female drivers are not very safe when they are doing Uber, because
late at night,
because guys be trying to like rape them or do different stuff. So no, I mean, that's something to think about.
A woman who's an Uber driver now, she better have a fucking gun on her. You know what
right,
I mean?
Exactly.
Be out there. And you better, preferably, a concealed, you know, weapons permit.
You're not in an
open carry state.
Yeah.
I was about to say that, you're not in an open carry state.
What's your thoughts on everything else that's going on in politics and news and stuff like that?
People going crazy. You know, you got the House that impeached that crazy motherfucker again. And it's kind of like, you know, at this point in time, all of this so nonsense. He got the nuclear codes. He got the Trump so stupid. He's so dumb. He don't even realize, you know, what he got. I do. Yeah. It's one of them situations. It's a free for all. You know, when we talk about the politics, it truly is a free for all. And I think a lot of people are continuing to buy into the whole Trump had the election stolen from him, whether he did or he didn't. That corporate 1% oligarch, they run the show. And he found out the hard way that he didn't have as much power as he think that he does, because these lobbyists, these capital firms, a lot of these private equity people, they really are running the scene, you know, behind the scene, more or less. So politics in general, it's one of those interesting topics, but yet somewhat difficult to explain a lot of my positioning to a person who's not very familiar with politics and how things work, such as like legislation and getting certain bills passed and printed into law, things of that nature. So what's your general opinion?
Well, I kind of feel like the whole impeachment thing is a little bit too late. You know what I'm saying? I think, like, what is that going to do? That is my opinion. I think I was going to ask your thoughts on that. What do you say to the people that are like, well, this is the
point? Well, it's like you just said, it's a dollar later and it's a day later and a dollar short. Impeaching them does nothing. One of the things I will say that's so much strategic about it is that, you know, apparently the Senate is supposed to hold the trial the day, about an hour after his presidency officially ends and an hour into Joe Biden's presidency. So all of the executive branch authority that Donald Trump has currently will no longer, you know, he'll no longer be essentially covered underneath the executive branch. So the state, anywhere between federal and state, somebody's going to get him. And I think that it's going to, when I say get him, they're going to find some charges. Even one thing I know about Congress is when they really want somebody, they'll come together and convene behind the scenes and get a public law passed specifically to get, you know, they'll come up with a law and say, for instance, it'll be an act of Congress, right, to create a public official abuse law to where anybody who has resigned or anybody who leaves office upon impeachment or anything of that nature can be charged retroactively, you know, and then they'll afford you due process and things of that nature. This is how cynical they really are. And I think that the state of New York, a lot of people forget everything is still pending in the state of New York, you know, for the past 5 years, is because a lot of the attention as to what you had just mentioned earlier has been deflected, that a lot of people totally forgot about all the three court cases that's pending up in New York. People forget about, now you went on national television, you said that you paid millions in taxes to the IRS. You know, you won't have Steve Mnuchin, and you don't have the commissioner of the IRS to protect you no longer. So your tax records will eventually be released. Congress will call you to possibly testify in regards to public office abuse, you know, and if you lie to Congress, hey, they're gonna get you on perjury.
But what, man, do you think is the point of this? Is the point to make it to where he can't run, you know, 4 years from now? Like, what is the goal?
I think the end goal with Congress, because everything that happened on Capitol Hill, see, I think honestly, had he just accepted the loss to Joe Biden and kind of faded into the black a little bit, they would have left him alone, because they would say, okay, we had to put up with him for 4 years. But the fact that those rioters and terrorists, because that's what they are, got that close to Congress, oh, they're out for blood. No, they're out for blood, because there's no way that, I'm telling you, and this is what, and we had this conversation on the last episode when I was talking about how that they consider themselves a part of that 1%, or they work on behalf of that 1%. So these peasants and peons, American workforce, got that close to us, and they were talking about hanging us, and they brought nooses and they brought guns, and, you know, they killed a Capitol police officer. They don't want to be around these people. So to prove a point to the public that if you ever try to get this close to us again, we're going to put you back in your place. I think that they're going to use Donald Trump as pretty much the kicking post for everything, because if you see it, all the media has already attached themselves to, you know, him inciting, you know, insurrection. So
right, but don't you think that doing that, if they do that, that's just going to inflame these Trump because supporters more?
No,
because what I'm hearing. Oh, go ahead.
I would say no, because now, this is for all of you people that love the military so much and back the blue and back the military. They have no problem using the military, you know, because, you know, Chris Hedges, and for everybody that's listening, Chris Hedges sued Obama back in 2012 about the Posse Comitatus Act that was in what's called the National Defense Authorization Act. Now, Congress has to renew this bill every year, or at least the spending portion of it, and then they can choose to remove certain verbiage from this bill. Now, long story short, that act basically allows what they call domestic terrorists. Who can be classified? Anybody can be classified as a domestic terrorist. Mm-hmm. And so that allows Congress to, you know, essentially use the military against the American people. And if you look, and if you've been looking at the news and you've been reading the news, now they already have over 2,000 National Guardsmen in D.C. right now on deck just for
true.
That.
Yeah, you're right. You that's
know?
True.
So they have no problem using lethal force. They'll show everything to pretty much to answer your question. They'll show the American people that love war and love military and conflict. They will really show you now what they're doing overseas in other countries. They'll do it to you here.
That's crazy to think about, because, you know, part of the whole American Revolution was behind trying to combat the government, trying to, you know, militarize against the people. And it's funny that you're discussing bills, and I haven't heard that discussed anywhere else, honestly, but obviously it's the case, because they have deployed the National Guard, and they have it within their full power to bring, because I think they even said in one of the articles I was reading that they were willing to bring troops over from that were in Iraq and overseas back here to make sure everything is straight. So you're right in that regard. Like, you know, we really gonna see how this shakes out. And it's interesting because it kind of gives those people who feel like, oh, the government's, they're trying to control us, it kind of gives credence to that. But it's like, bro, they already controlling you. They already know where you at. They already know what you're doing. I mean, a lot of those people that were down at the riots, they weren't able to get home because they had already been put on the no-fly list. Because a lot of the dumbasses were giving the people their names. They were giving reporters, when they were sitting out there talking, they were giving them their full name and everything. I'm Joe Montana from Tuscaloosa, you know, or whatever the heck. I'm from Albany, Georgia, you know. And it's like, oh, okay, let me just write that down real quick. Okay. And this, you know, I mean, they made it to
me. It was funny. It's social media, and it was people wanting to get their 5 minutes of fame. You really risk 5 minutes of fame for 15 years in federal prison. And remember, with the feds, you have to do 85% of that time. So it's no joke. This is serious. We talking about, but essentially, yeah, because a lot of people don't understand. That's what Trump, if you remember a few weeks back, I want to say late December, where he was going back and forth with Congress about that, where he refused to because that law is called the National Defense Authorization. And for everybody that's listening, you look that up. And what that essentially does, it appropriates certain defense funding to various contractors that supply the military with weapons and things of that nature and equipment. And it has to get renewed every year. And he threatened to withhold funding and to veto that bill. And Congress was all up in arms about that. Now, the Posse Comitatus Act, essentially, what that did was, it was supposedly to suspend the United States federal government for being able to use military force towards domestic policies here in the United States. But with the National Defense Authorization Act, the language was left specifically vague and in a gray area for the United States government to be able to interpret what a domestic terrorist is in whichever way they chose to. And this is what Chris Hedges' lawsuit versus Obama was about. He didn't want them to essentially get rid of the bill. He said to specify that this law and this act of Congress will not pertain to any United States citizen, which they refused to do. And the Supreme Court pretty much refused to hear the case, and they threw it out because they said, you know, that Chris Hedges didn't have standing. So this is very serious. Now, like I was saying, they're going to really see just how much these people give a f- about them, because I want to see where all of this campaign funding could, because a lot of people forget that, you know, Donald Trump has a corporation that was formed, an LLC that was formed for all of the contributions and all of the donations to his loyal followers and Kool-Aid drinkers had donated. And I believe that company, they had over, because they have to disclose all of that, they had about, you know, $500 to $600 million in that fund. And you remember, he lost the election. So what's to happen with whatever cash reserve they had? So I was telling a lot of people down here, well, you know, because they were all, oh, well, a lot of those people mugshots are at. And I don't really have no opinion on that. Call your daddy. Where's your daddy at? Is he going to bail you out? Donald Trump, is he going to get you out of prison? And remember, with the feds, it's cash bond. I mean, you can't put, grandma can't put her house up. Uncle Billy Joe can't put his lawnmower or his truck up. So it's cash bond only. So if your ass ain't got cash, you in there. So it is what it is.
I think it's kind of hypocritical anyway, because a lot of these same people that are supporters of him talk all this stuff back in the day about Blue Lives Matter, you know, when it was like, you know, all this protest for Black Lives Matter, or even just the kneeling taking place. But, you know, y'all didn't care about blue lives, and y'all was beating the police officers down there at that dang on riot. I mean, and then, you know, one guy, he was talking to one police officer who was working the actual the whole protest area, basically trying to secure the area. He said that people was beating him up, throwing things on him, and then they tried to grab his gun and they were screaming, kill him with his own gun, kill him with his own gun. And he had to be like, hey, I'm a parent, I'm a father. And then it was only after he said that you know, some of the supporters in the crowd basically started helping him. And then one of the reporters was like, what do you say to the people that, you know, were helping you that were down there? And he was like, well, I would say to them, thanks, but you. He basically said that. So I think that was interesting how, you know, the tables turn when it's not like we were talking about before, when it's not conducive. Yeah,
so let me be very blunt, very clear. Those the House of Reps as well as the Senate consider these people as Mitch McConnell. See, they hold Mitch McConnell, the Lindsey Grahams, the people of that world, they hold them accountable, because the vast majority of those people that come from a lot of those states, the West Virginia, the Kentuckys, the liberal, pro-liberal, they consider those people, you know, poor white trash, which to a lot of Black independent news outlets said, no, that's not the case, because you had a lot of middle class, what would be perceived as middle class white Americans, mm-hmm. that showed up. You had CEOs, you had one guy who was, I think he was a CEO of he's an underwriter for a insurance company, you know.
Yeah, politicians, like local politicians, everything down there.
Yeah, local politicians and all of that. So, I mean, I guess in a way, it pretty much had no type of class divide.
It did, but it you know, it still was enough supporters from different backgrounds. And the crazy thing is, they're saying that it had to have been some type of inside role, because there's no way that they would have known different parts of the Capitol, how to get into certain parts of the building, unless they had already been told where to go. And even then, if you're told where to go, they're saying, you know, if you've ever done a tour of the Capitol and stuff, it's kind of a confusing place. So you almost have had to have been there before and done tours.
Almost,
well, that's what they're saying. The FBI is looking into why were tours given like the day before the event, because they had shut down tours because of COVID, you know, like a year in advance or something like that. So they're trying to investigate. I do believe that there's an inside role with that.
Somebody
was involved that, you know, probably in Congress, somebody that had something in their crawl. They just didn't realize it's going to be popping on and popping like that, and so they trying to fall back right quick and just be like, well let's just see. But they gonna be found out, and it's gonna be somebody heard of before, but they just all of a sudden gonna just be missing.
Well, that one senator, I forget exactly which state he was from, but he said he knew it was an inside job, because he said, I never use my actual official office. He said, I hardly ever even go in there. He was like, it pretty much collects dust. He said he uses like a little general office that, you know, because he feels more comfortable in that office. And he said, what told him that this was an inside job is because the people knew exactly not to go to his official office, but to go to an office that he uses, just kind of like, I guess, like a general usage office for various people. So he was like, I knew it was an inside job, because he said, but essentially, like, why wouldn't they go to my official office?
Mm-hmm.
I forget which senator that was, but he was in the Senate. Yeah,
wow. So I agree that it's something more to this, but that's what kind of has a lot of people, you believe it or not. I mean, I don't live my life in fear, but there's a lot of people of color, Black people, and liberals, whatever you want to call it, everybody else that doesn't fit those categories, that's running around here scared, like, oh my God, what's gonna happen?
Oh my God, this 2021. If you're walking around here scared, you might as well go dig, go get your own shovel. I want you to go to Home Depot, buy yourself a bag of lime, you know, and a shovel, and start digging your own hole to go hide in. Look, seriously, in 2021, let this sink in. You know, our ancestors and antecedents dealt with real, you know,
getting way bit more by
dogs. Water hoses. I mean, you know, at most we getting shot down in the streets, but you know, they were getting persecuted and hung, you know, getting castrated.
Doing
basic stuff. So if you're walking around here in 2021 and you're gonna be objective in regards to what's happening and live your life in fear, I don't even really want you listening to What's the Deal, because I really don't.
Oh man,
I don't want you to know, seriously, because that's so disingenuous. We barely 16 years. Removed from, well, not even 60 years quite yet removed from segregation. You know, you figure segregation officially or legally federally ended in 1963 64. So less than 60 years still.
Yeah.
So you sit up here and in less than 60 years, you mean to tell me you that comfortable to where you only a generation removed, really a generation and a half, if you like somebody like our age.
But are you saying that you should just expect that there's going to be shit and we should just be like ready for it, even if, you know, because our ancestors went through worse.
Look,
like,
look,
they some people would object to that.
Okay, and object to it based on what basis? I would say the basis of, hold on. I would say the basis of what you just said, because that's just really what it is. Yeah, I don't want to go back to the hood. You know, let's be serious here, man. I just think that when you, if you don't stand for something, as the old saying goes, if you don't stand for something, man, you'll fall for anything.
Yeah, that's
true. You
know,
I look at that one brother, man, and, you know, I don't want to speculate because don't nobody know what Kyrie could just be crazy. But the basketball player Kyrie Irving strikes me as a brother that they gave him all of the money. And remember, that's the catch. That's the name of the game. Once you get the bag as a black person in America, you supposed to just, I guess, go hide out and go do basic rich black people, right? And you're not supposed to stand up. You're not supposed to really get back to your community. You're not supposed to use that money to empower your people and do shit with it. So it makes us complacent and comfortable more so than anything. And that is a part of the problem, because when you're no longer hungry, just because you are right, but the vast majority of your people is fucked up, it makes it hard to go back home because, yeah, I understand it. Why, you know, if I go back to certain neighborhoods in Detroit, you know, you got to watch your shit because, hey, something's bad going to happen to you because people ain't on. And because if it's no opportunities or financial resources, but I don't want to get off a point because you asked a very good question. You said, well, some people, or you made a good, very good statement rather, that some people would, you know, object to that. I'm not saying that you don't have to be conservative to a certain extent and take up arms only if arms is being brought towards you. That's what I'm saying, essentially, because I'm not trying to incite no shit. I'm not a send-off man. I wouldn't send somebody out there to go do something that I wouldn't do specifically as well. However, I will say it's 2021. You cannot continue to be afraid in 2021. And especially if you from our generation, because if you are, remember, we got Gen Z that's looking up to us. If we set this weak role and example, then what message are we sending to the youth? Not only that, a lot of people, remember, me and you had this conversation privately, you know, when we talked about how it's kind of like a fake, false generation in regards to that generation that put in work. In particular, I would say the baby boomers. It wasn't their generation who put in the real work anyway. They benefited off of everything from our grandparents putting in a lot of that work. So henceforth, the millennials have been somewhat complacent as well, because unfortunately, a lot of our parents were complacent. You know, just being blunt, if your parents weren't on crack in the 80s and had a good job and things of that nature, you had a relatively good upbringing. You know, if you weren't affected, if you one of your parents weren't locked up for selling drugs and selling dope, you pretty much survived the war on drugs, which is essentially a war on the black community. You know, the 80s, the early 90s and things of that nature. By the 2000, the dope game wasn't as alarming and things of that nature. It had pretty much died out by like 95, 96. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is that this whole neglectful attitude as it relates to our struggle as a people in this country is because of the baby boomers. And I hold them responsible for a lot of the stuff that has trickled down. If you want to talk about a trickle down effect, you know, I know a lot of guys, and I was friends with a lot of guys who, unfortunately, their parents, their dad might have been locked up and their mom might have been on drugs real bad. And they had a very rough upbringing, very, you know, a hard childhood. So not to make an excuse for a lot of them, but I can understand why a lot of those guys turned to the streets and turned to drugs and things of that nature. So you fast forward 40 years. 40 to 50 years later, or not 40 or 50 years later, but more or less 30 years later, and you have the baby boomers who's running around here acting like they put in so much work. No, you didn't. It was your parents and your parents' parents who put in a lot of the work to lay down the foundation for the baby boomers to be able to benefit. So we became, you know, complacent.
Yeah, I think that it's just that we live in a world where we have so much access at our fingertips, and we have, you know, let's just be real, like we're in the most privileged country, even the poorest person, even a person that's homeless on the street, is worlds apart from someone that's in certain other countries that are living poverty, really severely poverty stricken. So it's like we don't really know struggle like that. So we're not willing to risk that. We're just like, well, everything's good how it is right now. Like, why do we gotta rock the boat? We're not thinking about like, well, it could be better, things could be a lot different. You know what I'm saying? So I think that people are afraid of what's to come because they're seeing all the rioting and people getting all riled up. And they're like, you know, that their generation, they haven't seen that. Because think about it, the baby boomers, they were children when a lot of that civil rights movement stuff was taking place. So, you know, besides the 90s where it was like, you know, a lot of rioting and stuff like that, they haven't actually been a part of a movement like that, unless they were kind of like teenagers or young adults at the time when all the civil rights stuff was going on in the late 60s and early 70s. So my thing is, this is the reason why people are reacting this way, because we've kind of gone all the late 90s and 2000s and 2010s kind of just coasting by, like, well, things seem like they're getting better, things seem like they're changing. But you know, what's going on recently has shown, even though we've changed in a lot of ways, we're still, you know, you don't address when you keep picking at a wound and you don't really try to work to heal that wound, it's going to heal wrong. It's not, or it's never going to heal. So it's kind of like the same thing. We don't want to do what it takes to actually really heal that wound. You know what I'm saying? And we just keep, you know, messing with it and doing different things wrong, and to where it's just never going to be healed. So I think that's what's going on with that. That's like my little analogy. But yeah, I think that, you know, people are scared listening to all this stuff, like, especially since they're talking about how, because MLK's weekend kind of coincides with the with Biden's, when he becomes president, his inauguration, they're talking about how there's going to be all this stuff popping off from, I think, starting tomorrow all the way leading up to the inauguration day. And even thereafter, there's supposedly rumors and talks about organizers of Trump supporters, you know, putting together all of these different like events and things at different capitals around the country. So what's your thoughts on that? Like, if they start, you know, storming the capitals here in Arizona and everywhere else, you know, and trying to incite some stuff. It's kind of ironic because it's like, you know, they kind of taken the model that Black Lives Matter kind of already took last year, where people wasn't on this type of tip to this extent. I don't care what nobody says, you know, some stuff got out of hand, but not like this.
Answer your question specifically. I really think that in particular, white America is going to find out that if they attempt it to do anything like that ever again, that lethal force will be used. And they don't care how mad white America gets. When I say they, I'm talking about the establishment, meaning the government, the oligarch. They're going to take arms, and the United States government is going to take swift action. And a lot of people forget, it's called the United Nations for a reason. They get that twisted. So let's say, for instance, the National Guard don't want to come in and protect and preserve our America's democracy. Well, all the thing the United States have to do is go to the United Nations and say, hey, well, a lot of our citizens are becoming belligerents and we want another nation to step in, come in and help regulate. They have no problem doing that. And like I said, they'll see who the real enemies are, you know, and they'll see. And trust me, you gotta keep in mind that it's a lot of countries that would love to come over here and put the American people in check because of everything that's going on. And a lot of the service members that have went overseas and committed all type of atrocities and did things in foreign nations. You mean to tell me a foreign nation got the government, the United States government, permission to come and discipline the American people? Oh, they would love that.
Well, I honestly, my theory is that, you know, all this stuff is a tool to get people distracted because, you know, we don't really want to go off into any type of quote unquote civil war. And I think that's what a lot of people are like, oh my God, what if a civil war popped up? I was like, man, first of all, I'm in agreement with you. The United States government would shut that down quickly because they don't want to appear weak in front of anybody else. Oh, you want to come over to our country and regulate, but you can't even regulate your little countrymen over there who are all entitled little fat people. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how they, that's how, I'm just being real. That's how people in Europe and in other parts of the country, they just see Americans as fat, lazy slobs, you know? I mean, just being, I hate to say it like that, but that's the truth. And so, like, they feel like, you know, you can't even put them in line, but you're going to come over into our country and try to do that. So it kind of like puts us at a kind of a disadvantage, because another country could just come in and be like, oh, we're going to start war with y'all. You know, and so what we think is about to be, oh, civil war, that can be the impetus to get us into World War III. If we show any weakness as a country and show, oh, well, you know, we can't control this. Well, all Iran or North Korea or something has to do, send a bomb over here, and all of a sudden we're at war. Now all that stuff is going to be shut down real quick. All of a sudden, all that trying to infighting in it, I don't know, I kind of feel like that foretells things. Like, what do you think is, you think it's likely that we could be at war like that, you know, under those kind of circumstances?
I think we could, but, and remember, technically, United States Capitol, we got caught lacking, as people, youngsters would say, kind of showing our age a little bit, got caught lacking. But no, they really were. They really did. They did
get caught lacking.
And got slipping. Yeah, exactly. And to keep it all the way 100 with you, the thing that a lot of people take for granted is the United States has to be attacked internally. This is why, if you notice, most of the things that happen, at least within our lifetime, has happened internally, because the United States benefits from the water that protect the water essentially protects the United States, because you got the Atlantic Ocean to the east, Pacific to the west, and you know, you got the Gulf of Mexico and the Caribbean Sea to the south of us. So the water protects the United States, essentially. And I don't want to get off subject. I just want to put that out there. This is why the United States spends so much money with the Navy, to protect the flow of weapons, the flow of current, you know, to protect global positioning in the world. So the United States is very keen on what the rest of the world is doing. Mm-hmm. But where we're slipping at from a military advantage is that we are starting to spread ourselves very thin, and we are in various locations around the rest of the world, that we have been neglecting all of the domestic issues here. Because hence the fact that you're having this conversation now, and you ask me about these domestic terrorists that are thinking about taking up arms against the government and state capitals on the 20th, is a conversation that you would have thought around 9/11 would never have happened, because that's around a time when we were attacked domestically, but still internally, but it was from a foreign enemy, right? Mm-hmm. That everybody was, you know, in a patriotism or pageantry patriotism and things of that nature. And now you start and you fast forward almost 20 years later. Well, yeah, this will be the 20th year. This is 9/11 will be 20 years this September 11th. So you fast forward 20 years later and the recurrence is happening all over again. You got these fake patriots running around talking about how patriotic they are and how much they care about their country. But if you care about your country and preserving the Constitution and democracy, why would you take up arms against publicly elected officials if you believe that the elections are, you know, rigged or not?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just a lot. I just think that personally, I don't think we should live in fear. We got to just, you know, stay together and just ride this thing on out.